Welcome to Family History, Genealogy Made Easy. I'm your host, Lisa Louise Cook. You probably have a lot of curiosity about your family tree, but not a lot of time, and that's why I created this podcast. In each episode, I'm going to give you the tools that you need to uncover your family tree in quick and easy ways. Now, we've talked about posting your family tree online as a way to connect with other researchers and distant relatives. And services like Ancestry's Member Connect are another way to try to accomplish this. But one of the concerns I regularly hear from listeners is that, frankly, it can get a bit messy, if you will, sharing data online, having others post into your family tree, and having all this extra information show up while you're trying to look at online documents. The biggest problem is that it sort of feels like hit or miss, like something is being thrown at you to see if it sticks to the wall, or should I say, to see if it sticks to your family tree. Well, there is another option, and in today's show, I'm happy to bring to you my interview with Peter Calver, founder and president of the LostCousins.com website. Peter is a genealogist who shares our goals.
So I wanted to come up with some way in which people could be matched up very, very accurately with people who were related to them.
He explains the biggest benefit to the Lost Cousins approach to connecting with others.
Overall, there's an enormous time saving doing it my way because you don't waste time dealing with people who subsequently turn out not to be related.
And the difference between the matches that you make with Lost Cousins and the matches that you might make through other methods.
Our accuracy has been 99.9%. That means that we get it wrong about one time in a thousand. And that's a phenomenal difference. What that means for a typical Lost Cousins member is that even if they live to be 100, they'll probably never be matched with the wrong person through the Lost Cousins site.
Peter's a fascinating guy, and he's got a terrific option for us that you really need to give a try. And that's coming up right after this. The other day, I was reading through the Lost Cousins e-newsletter and found a great tip for locating articles about folks who appeared on the stage in England in the 19th and 20th centuries. Now, that was right up my alley because I've been looking for just that kind of information about an ancestor of my husband's. Well, sure enough, the recommended site gave me several terrific articles, and I was absolutely thrilled. Well, I've always been impressed with the Lost Cousins newsletter because it's obvious that the author, Peter Calver, puts a lot of effort into providing quality information. And Peter also strives to provide quality connections for genealogists on his Lost Cousins website. If you live in the United Kingdom, then you're probably already aware of Lost Cousins, but many genealogists don't realize that researchers in Canada, the United States, and other locations can have great success there as well. So, even with the 8-hour time difference, Peter and I found a little bit of time recently to get together and talk about Lost Cousins, how it works, who can benefit from it, and why it works so well. Here's my conversation with him. Well, Peter, I'm pretty sure that my listeners in the UK are very familiar with your website. And in fact, I first heard about it from a distant English relative who I found on a message board. But of course, you don't have to live in the UK to use your website. And because so many of us have British ancestors in our family tree, I'm really anxious to have you give us an overview of what your website offers. Tell us all about Lost Cousins.
Well, first of all, let me say there's about 75,000 members, and of those, around 60,000 have British ancestry, quite probably more. And around half of those, perhaps slightly higher, live in the UK, and the rest of them are all over the world. So people in North America, Australia, New Zealand, we have people in over 50 countries around the world, so it doesn't matter where people live. As long as they can get access to the internet, they can find their cousins. I should also mention that we're taught about British ancestors, but lost cousins doesn't just work for those people who are lucky enough to have British ancestors. As long as you can find somebody on one of the censuses that we support, and they include British censuses, America, US 1880 census, and the Canadian 1881 census, then we can find your cousins. Always, we can look for your cousins and hopefully find them.
Oh, that's good to know. So the website, the connections that you're helping us make are based on census records. And so you have all the British ones, but there's also the 1880, you said, for U.S., and you have a Canadian census. So we're connecting based on that information?
Well, let me just sort of go back to the reason why I started the website and why I started doing it the way it works. As you know, there are lots of websites you can go to where you can look for people who share your ancestors, but in my experience, one of the most difficult things is, first, there are so many of these websites, so you don't know which ones to use. And secondly, once you do find somebody, it can be very difficult to figure out whether they're actually related to you or not, particularly when you've got common surnames. And of course, people moved around, so even if you find somebody with the right name in the right place, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a relative of yours. So I wanted to come up with some way in which people could be matched up very, very accurately with people who were related to them. And I thought about it for months and months and months, and eventually I realized that everybody had to enter information from the same source. And the obvious source was the census, because, as you know, Family Search have had for some years several censuses available free online, but anybody can access those. They don't have to pay a subscription. All they need is an internet connection. They can look at that information, and they can then enter that information into their Lost Cousins page. Because people are taking information from the same source, as long as they've found the right person on the census, then we can match them very, very accurately with their cousins.
That's a great premise for the website. I think it's music to the ears of so many of us who are dedicated to doing good quality research. And then that is that you're not just posting a tree and you hope the person knew what they were doing, but everybody's working from an actual primary source. And boy, that sounds like the ideal way to go.
Well, it certainly is. The difficulty is that it is involves slightly more time and effort than simply uploading a GEDCOM file, which is the way all the others, or most of the other sites work. But in my view, overall, there's an enormous time saving doing it my way, because you don't waste time dealing with people who subsequently turn out not to be related. There's also the issue of you could end up handing out information about your relatives to somebody who claims to be a relative, but subsequently you discover isn't. So it's much more private. In fact, the whole process is very confidential, because you don't get to see the information other people enter, because it's a highly accurate automatic matching system. All you see is the information you enter. Even after we've matched you with your cousin, you still don't see their page. You only see the information they choose to send to you. And because by that point they already know that you're related, it's a much more satisfactory situation. In terms of accuracy, by the way, there's a big competitor over here in Britain, and a lot of people are familiar with. I won't mention their name, but their accuracy is estimated to be between 10 and 20%. So 8 or 9 times out of 10, they get it wrong. Now, so far, in the 5.5 years that Lost Cousins has been running, our accuracy has been 99.9%. That means that we get it wrong about 1 time in 1,000. And that's a phenomenal difference. What that means for a typical Lost Cousins member is that even if they live to be 100, they'll probably never be matched with the wrong person through the Lost Cousins site.
And that's fantastic, because I'd rather have 1 or 2 really good, ideal matches than a boatload full of muck that I have to slog through trying to figure out who's who. And You know, it's exciting, the idea of how the internet connects us, and yet we can end up with a lot of, shall we say, garbage loaded onto our tree by other people if we're not careful. And I think it sounds like this is really helping us keep focused on what's true and accurate, and it sounds like a great way to go.
If you look at a GovCon file, no matter how good the people are who are researching the data, what you enter about a narrative and what I would enter about the same narrative is very unlikely to be the same. For example, you live in America, so if you had an English ancestor, you might put down that he came from England, or that he came out, that he was born in London. I would probably put down that he was born in a particular street. I might even write the number of the street. There are so many different ways of expressing the same thing, and that's the problem. Even if people have got their research right, it's not always possible to match up the information that they enter. Taking data from the census, you can't go wrong. When somebody enters their relative from one of the censuses, they enter the census, the references that define the specific page of the census. Now, there's only typically, on the British census, 20 to 25 people on the page, but the chances of a mistake being made is infinitesimally small. You just aren't going to get two people on the same page with the same name and the other information they enter.
Exactly. Now, that brings me to the website itself. Walk us through, when we go to lostcousins.com, how do we get started in making these matches?
Well, first thing to do is to register. And that's just a typical filling your name, email address, and a few other bits of information. But I should point out that none of that information is displayed on the website. Once you've done that, well, the website's really based around two pages. One is called the My Ancestors. The other one is the My Cousins page. Think of it as a sausage machine. You put in, at one end, which is the My Ancestors page, you put in the details about your ancestors and your other relatives who were recording on the census. At the other end, what comes out on the My Cousins page is the other members that we've found who've entered the same relatives from the census. If you enter John Smith from the same page of the census, the John Smith I've entered, then we must be related. Yeah, if we're both related to John Smith, we must be related to each other. So it really is simple. It's just different. Now, a lot of people find it difficult initially to use the site because they think, hey, it's going to work the same as all the other sites I've ever used. Well, it doesn't work the same. It doesn't make it any more difficult. It's a bit like when I come to the States, I have to drive on the other side of the road. Doesn't make it any more difficult, but you know, I just have to think a little bit more before I turn the key of admission.
Exactly. And you told us that we can register for free. We just enter our information. You know, obviously it takes a lot of effort and resources to run a site like this, and you do offer a subscription, which, of course, helps support the site. So tell us what the subscription can do for us.
There has to be, obviously, some way of raising money to pay for the site, and I thought the fairest way to do this was to charge the people who benefit most from the site. So if you're matched with a cousin through the site, then, and you want to initiate contact with them. If you want to be the one to say, you know, we're cousins, you know, let's exchange information, then you need to be a subscriber. And a subscription costs £10 for a year, and that's about $16 or $17. And during that year, you can contact as many other people as you find through the site as you like. Now, most people don't pay a subscription because two very simple reasons. One, instead of becoming a subscriber yourself, you can wait for your cousin to contact you. Although I don't think that's very fair, really expecting your cousin to buy a subscription, but hey, some people do that. But the other reason is that two or three times a year we have a period where the site's free for everybody, so everybody gets the same privileges that a subscriber would have. The next one will be between Christmas and New Year. So that's a whole week when everybody can use the site completely free. They can contact anybody they're matched with, whether they're matched with them during that week or whether they've been matched with them during this year. So nobody has to pay us any money, but obviously if nobody paid money, then the site would be in existence.
Well, I think that's really neat that you offer it for that week where we can try it out. I'm sure that if people do try it out, they're going to love it. And, you know, I think all of us, that's a small price to pay to support something that could really provide us not only connections today, but gosh, you never know. It could be tomorrow that your cousin signs up or gets connected. So it sounds like it's well worth the investment. I can't believe it. I'm done with my Christmas shopping, and I was able to get just about everything on the list by shopping online at Amazon.com. No traffic, no crowds, and nobody telling me, oh, sorry, that's out of stock. It has been wonderful, and I have a lot more time now for my family. This year, you can get your shopping done, have the gifts delivered to your door, and support this free genealogy podcast all at the same time. If you enjoy these free shows and you'd like to help me cover the costs of bringing them to you, there's a really easy way to do it this Christmas that won't cost you a thing. Here's how it works. Go to my website at genealogygems.tv and click the Amazon link or use the Amazon search box in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. And no matter what you buy, you financially support the show. The price you pay is exactly the same, but Genealogy Gems receives a small percentage for referring you. It's just that simple. And if you're going to load up your iPod or the iPod of someone you love this Christmas, I've got an iTunes banner at the bottom of the homepage that you can click. And again, your purchases will help make this podcast possible at no additional charge to you. So if you enjoy the podcast, let your mouse do the shopping through the ads and links on the Genealogy Gems website at genealogygems.tv. And together, we'll keep new episodes coming for a long time to come. We are back with Peter Calver of Lost Cousins. Do you have any recommendations for us as, you know, when you do want to make contact with somebody, what do you find is the best way to approach that? Sometimes it can be a little bit intimidating to think about contacting a stranger. What approach do you take?
Yeah, very simply, a very cautious approach, and I think you're right in saying that it can be awkward, and I do know from other sites that I've used that very often people don't reply. Typically, you don't know why they haven't replied, whether it's because they didn't receive the email or just because they don't think you're going to be useful contact or whatever. And that's why with Lost Cousins, we try and give people as much information as possible about the relationship before they start talking to each other. So when you're matched with somebody through the Lost Cousins site, you not only know that you're related to them, you have a pretty good idea how you're related to them. You know, sometimes you're going to be related by marriage. Your great-grandfather's brother married their great-grandmother's sister. Other times you will be cousins. You'll actually share the same ancestor. And we make it easy to identify which of the contacts fit into which category. Secondly, we don't give people the opportunity to send the information until the other person has agreed that they are going to correspond. So it's like a handshake. You found somebody, you say, right, I want to contact them. And typically on another site, you'd write that out a long email giving you all sorts of information that you think is going to be of useful to them. And you then wait and you wait and you wait, and very often you don't get a reply. I think that's a very satisfactory situation. So at Lost Cousins, we don't allow you to send information to another member until that member has agreed that they're going to correspond with you. For some people, it seems an unnecessary step, but in my experience, it saves a lot of heartache. There's nothing worse than sending information about your own family and then not knowing whether it's reached the other person and not hearing anything back from them, not even knowing if they're related to you or not.
I have to agree with you, because I think that sometimes when we get excited and we send all that great information thinking we're giving them lots of information to work with to reply to us, we actually could end up overwhelming the person. And then they feel like, well, I can't really, I've heard people say, you know, I waited to respond until I felt like I could really sit down and kind of respond in kind with as much information as you sent. And as you say, we don't typically start a personal one-on-one relationship that way, where we just throw our whole life story at the person. So I like that idea of a handshake and the idea of getting approval on both parties so we know we're connected, and then starting from there. And certainly there's time to do that. I actually had one of our distant cousins contact me that way, and it went really well. And it was nice to know that we were connected before it went further. And that makes me wonder also about some of your success stories. I'm guessing you get emails from people that tell you about their success stories. I know that's how I contacted you, was you send out that terrific e-newsletter, and you had mentioned a website. And when I went to check it out, I found something I've been looking for a whole long time, and I'd almost given up on. And so I was really excited to email you back and let you know I'd made that discovery. Do you get some fun emails from people telling you about their discoveries?
Yes. I do. I mean, people write to me all the time, and sometimes it's about cousins I found through a site. Sometimes it's about discoveries I've made through the newsletter. To be frank, I get so many emails that it's hard to pick any out. But I mean, one thing I found fascinating is that where we do make matches, that one third of them seem to be between people from different countries. And I think that's great, because making connections across the world, very often people on the other side of the world, I just think that's so much more exciting. At the same time, if I had to pick out just one many thousands of matches that we've made, which it just sticks in my mind, it's the two cousins who were living within a mile of each other in the same town, less than a mile away. They've been living there virtually their whole lives, and yet they never knew that the other one existed. And for me, that's what lost cousins is all about. You know, they really were lost because they didn't know the other one existed.
That's got to be pretty rewarding for you to know that you have been the catalyst of that connection. Like you say, whether it's around the corner or around the globe, that's a pretty wonderful feeling. Peter, tell us real quickly about your own research. Have you been researching your family for a while, and what's that genealogy meant to you?
Well, as you can imagine, when I started Lost Cousins, I was really enthusiastic about researching my own tree. But the funny thing is, when you've got 75,000 members to look after, all of a sudden you find that there are other things to do, and I just don't get nearly so much time to look into my own family history as I'd like to. But that said, I have got back a couple of lines to the 1600s, or most lines to the 1700s. I think what I found most fascinating, typically how people start researching their family tree, thinking they're going to find they're connected to royalty or somebody famous or somebody infamous maybe. But I didn't discover that. What I found was that most of my ancestors came from very, very humble beginnings. I mean, one of my ancestors died in the workhouse. Most of the men were poor farm laborers. One of them was a shepherd. Another was a fisherman. Very, very humble beginnings. And, only a century ago, they were very, very poor. And today, when I look at all the things that I have and that most people have in the devout world, it's just incredible to think that all that can have come from such humble beginnings.
Oh, I have to agree with you, and it makes you realize that it's almost more impressive that we are here today knowing what our humble ancestors had to tackle and had to overcome to make sure that the generations made its way to us. I very much agree with you. And Peter, finally, you have, again, I've said before, a terrific newsletter. I can tell that you put an awful lot of effort into it, and you bring out some wonderful bits of information. Tell us how our listeners can subscribe to your e-newsletter. I know it's free. How do they get it in their mailbox?
Right. Well, it's very simple. And I'm a Lost Cousins member. Register at the Lost Cousins site, and you'll automatically go on the mailing list. If you subsequently decide you don't want to receive the letter, that's not a problem. You can can change the settings, but I don't think there are many, well, there certainly aren't many people who, having read the newsletter, decide they don't want it. It's, it's very popular, and it's a challenge every time I write the newsletter, because, you know, I get so many complimentary emails that every time I sit down to write a new one, I think, how can I possibly live up to the one before? But, you know, thankfully, members write in with tips that they've found, and I pass them on, and you know, it's like a snowball. You know, once it starts rolling, it just gets bigger and bigger.
Absolutely. And I know that particularly over in Great Britain, that genealogy seems to have just been taking off in the last couple of years. I know you've got the big Who Do You Think You Are conference coming up in January. What does that mean for the future of Lost Cousins? What have you got up your sleeve?
Well, I think there's a difference between an interest in genealogy and people actually researching their family tree. I think the number of people who, you know, watch television programs on genealogy, and a number of people who actually go around to archives looking at microfiche and doing research is very different. But of course, whenever I go out and meet people, you know, social events, and they say, what do you do? There's a very good chance that one of the people at the table is also going to be researching their family tree. And that's great, because, you know, 10 years ago, people would probably look, they thought I was a little bit strange. So the fact that it's become more of a mainstream hobby, I think, is very good.
Absolutely. Very good indeed. And you're helping bring us all together. Peter, thank you so much for talking to me a little bit long distance here and taking some time out. Really appreciate it. I want to, of course, direct our listeners to lostcousins.com. And as Peter said, if you register for the site, which is, of course, free, he's not going to ask for your credit card number, you will get his terrific e-newsletter. And I tell you, I found some gems in there, so I'm guessing you will, too. Peter Calver, thank you so much for spending time with us today on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Lisa.
Do you have your genealogy gem rhinestone pin yet? Genealogy Gems podcast listener Pat Dalpaez does, and she's loving it.
I love it. It's the perfect size. It has just the right amount of sparkle in it. I took your advice. I started a blog for my family. So I went through some papers and I found marriage certificate and a baptismal certificate for my husband's grandparents. And I said, well, I'm going to scan these and put these up on the blog. And I set it aside to do the next day, and I went to bed and I'm just drifting off to sleep. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, the baptismal certificate, my husband's grandfather's name is Jacob. And everything else that says James, and I couldn't figure out why. And it came to me that because the baptismal certificate was issued 25 years after the baptism, somebody had to transcribe it. And what they were probably looking at was his Italian name that he was born with, Giacomo, which can also be translated to Jacob or James. I'm so happy I finally have a reasonable explanation for why this says Jacob. So the next day, I put my genealogy gems pin on and went off to work. Everybody said, "Oh, you got a new pin? What's that all about?" So I got to tell the story. So I was very, very happy. And I told everybody, I'm going to wear this pin every time I make some sort of genealogical discovery. So you ask me about it when you see me.
Get your own genealogy gem rhinestone pin and get the folks around you talking. The pin is made with high-quality Czechoslovakian and Austrian crystals and measures 1 inch high and 2 inches across. It adds just the right amount of bling to clothing, hats, and purses. Tell the world that you're a genealogy gem today and get your genealogy gem pin at the Genealogy Gems podcast website at genealogygems.tv. Are you looking for a way to get even more genealogy gems that will power boost your research, inspire your creativity, and give you the motivation that you need to tackle that brick wall? Well, become a Genealogy Gems premium member. You'll get 2 extra members-only episodes every month, packed with great information that you can use right away, an instructional video series walking you through the best internet tools step-by-step. Our current series is called Google, a Goldmine of Genealogy Gems, and in each episode, you can follow along with me as I show you online how to get the most out of Google. If you enjoy the Genealogy Gems podcast, then you're going to love being a premium member. But don't just take my word for it. Here's what your fellow podcast listeners have to say.
This is Melissa Barker in Tennessee. I'm just calling to let you know how much I'm enjoying your Genealogy Podcast Premium Edition. I especially love the handwriting analysis with Paula Sassy. And all the tips and information that you give is just so wonderful. I would encourage anyone to become a member of your Genealogy Gems Podcast Premium.
To become a premium member and start reaping the benefits right away, go to genealogygems.tv and click the Join Today button. And by entering the special coupon code SAVE20, that's SAVE20, you will get 20% off the annual membership. Genealogy Gems Premium Membership. It's where you belong. Brings us to the end of the show. To view the show notes for this episode featuring Peter Calver at the Lost Cousins website, just go to genealogygems.tv and click on that yellow Family History Podcast icon you see there on the homepage and navigate your way to episode number 46. I also invite you to listen to my other family history podcast called the Genealogy Gems Podcast, which you can also find at my website at genealogygems.tv. And there are two very easy ways to stay up to speed with everything that's going on with the podcast. First, just sign up for my free Genealogy Gems e-newsletter. Not only will you get the latest episodes and great research gems, but I've also just incorporated a terrific new feature, slideshow videos showing you how to tap into those gems. And when you sign up for the newsletter, you'll get a link in your welcome email that allows you to download my free 20-page ebook. It's called 5 Fabulous Google Research Strategies for the Family Historian. It's a must-have for getting the most out of your searches on Google. So go to genealogygems.tv and click the newsletter subscribe button. You'll find that in the menu bar on the left-hand side of the page. And secondly, you can download the free Genealogy Gems toolbar. This is brand new. I've designed this to give you a super quick access to the website, Facebook, Twitter, my blog, videos, my top choices for the best free genealogy websites. You're going to love those. And a webpage highlighter feature, as well as a search box. Everything you need. So just go to thegenealogygemspodcast.ourtoolbar.com. And of course, to make it easy, I will again have links to both the free newsletter and the toolbar in the show notes. Here's a final thought for today. Genealogy blogger Katie O of the You Are Where You Came From blog says, "If you want to have a future, insist on having a past." Thanks so much for listening, friend. I'm Lisa Louise Cook, and I'll talk to you soon.